This is Men's Health Matters, hosted by the fans Timmy Hall on 1460 ESPN. Your health matters. Visit edcure.org today to find a physician in your area.
All right, and welcome back in 1460 ESPN, episode 2, week 2 of the Men's Health Matters campaign. And once again, got you for another episode after this one. He is Dr. Greg Lowe. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
So how was the week? Everything good?
Everything's been great. As the weather's improving, it's been fantastic.
So we were talking last week a little bit how you're a huge CBJ fan. Obviously, you're a big sports fan. So you listen to the station, do you not?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Oh, we appreciate that. It's very nice of you. What besides hockey drives the boat? What gets you running to the TV set or to the radio?
So I had been a huge Bengals fan growing up. Now, interestingly enough, as they've gotten better, no, I'm still on board. It's just that I don't spend quite as much time on the weekends just sitting and watching football. It's with my kids getting older, it's been time now where instead of spending all day Saturday and all day Sunday watching football, I got to pick one of the two and then peek in on the other. So I tend to watch more Ohio State football and then just kind of peek in on the scores of the Bengals. And that's probably better for my blood pressure anyway.
You know, I only have one son, and I am beginning to see how much, and he likes sports too, but he's also a kid, and he also wants to go, like, he just figured out how to ride his bike. How cool is that?
It's amazing, isn't it?
I wasn't really prepared as a father to know how cool it was going to be when your boy learns how to ride a bike for the first time. And the wife and I were starting to wonder, should we be doing more here? Should we be trying to do this? Like, he hasn't really been asking that much to get the training wheels off. And then, I'm not kidding you. He's 7 years old. Maybe this happens when some kids are 5, 6. You could speak to that. He took the pedals off. We took the training wheels and the pedals off to do the gliding motion, right?
Right.
And then the wife calls me while I'm at work last week one time. She's like, guess what? Here's videos of him just ripping around, riding like the devil. He's Evel Knievel. 2 days.
Oh, it's fantastic.
2 days it happened. He's riding the bike.
Watching kids is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Now,
I guess that's a sport, right? Bike riding, BMX.
Of course.
We can get into that.
Yeah. It's what we all did growing up.
I know, right? Then the rollerblades came along. That stole our attention.
Yeah, that's we have a lot of that going on at our house.
So what is family life like for you? I always wonder, with a doctor, how much of that do you get? Is it okay? You get enough time?
Actually, family life's been fantastic. It's one of those things where people told me when our kids were younger, take advantage of it. It goes quick. But as our kids have gotten older, and they're 12 and 9 now, man, it does feel like time flies with them. And it's fun running around the sports. I just like being outside watching the sports. So I love it when they have games all weekend long. That to me is a fun weekend. It's relaxing. I'm outside, usually talking to some buddies while we get to watch the kids play. It's just a good time.
I'm still getting through the phase where the level hasn't really clicked in. It's still you've just recently graduated from T-ball here, so we're still learning how to catch and throw and be more consistent with that. I can already see how it gets more and more fun. Like when your kid makes a play, fields a ground ball. 12 and 9, so a boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl, yeah.
And what sports dominate their cycle right now?
Yeah, so we've got a son that will do football, hockey, lacrosse, and still does a little bit of soccer on the side, enjoys all that. And then my daughter is in competitive dance, which I didn't know anything about, but man, it's fun to watch, and it's amazing to see what they can do at even a little age. But she's a great softball player as well. And then she does a lot more of the artsy stuff too. So works with Columbus Children's Theater and voice lessons, does some competitive singing. So it's amazing just watching their own little personalities develop.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I guess the two things that I wanted to be if I wasn't going to be a professional athlete, actor was the other one.
Yeah.
And I wound up in sports radio.
Somewhere
in the middle, right?
Exactly.
Everyone always calls us personalities, right? Like I never figured I had a personality until I started working in sports radio. And then they kind of just told me that I did. So we've got Dr. Lowe from Ohio Health. And again, could we just remind everybody, What are we actually doing here? The Men's Health Matters campaign. Why is this important? What message are we trying to get out there to the folks?
Well, we just want men to take control of their overall health. And that includes their testosterone, their erections. We want them to understand what their prostate does and what is PSA? What is the screening we do for prostate cancer? When is it important? We want to look at their heart function. We want them to prevent disease down the road rather than trying to react to a problem once it happens.
Well, I know we're going to get into some things in the second segment, how it can lead, ED can lead to different things down the road. But why don't we start off a little bit by what are the causes of it in the first place?
Yeah, there's a lot of causes. And that's one of the tricky parts about figuring out exactly what's going on. It's that most of the time, it's not just one single cause. It's not one thing we can just say, oh, you know, fix that and everything's going to go back to normal. And one of the problems we have with ED is that once a problem starts to happen, we don't have any good ways to reverse that problem. We have good ways to treat it and to take care of it and get guys back to normal function.
Sure.
But
yeah.
To actually fix the problem so that everything goes back to normal, all our ways for that are still very much experimental. So when we talk about trouble or causes of erectile dysfunction, the biggest two are going to be diabetes as well as heart disease or vascular disease. So kind of blood flow throughout the body. But low testosterone, high or low thyroid function, pelvic surgery or radiation, having your prostate removed or radiated, having trauma to the pelvis, spine injuries, medications, alcohol, drugs, stress, all these can actually lead to significant problems with the erections. In fact, the stress is an interesting one because we'll see that even in young guys nowadays.
Yeah.
Where once they kind of understand the process of what's going on, that's when we can actually cure because they can learn to relax particular muscles, which will ultimately lead back to normal function.
So somebody that, you know, maybe hasn't actively been going to the doctors that might think that they're in the clear, are there any sort of bullet points that you could give them to where this maybe delays the problem developing, or maybe it won't for them at all? That's the hope, obviously. But
yeah, absolutely.
The reason why we're here is because that's not necessarily the case. It might affect you at some point.
Right, right. And the numbers tell us that it's likely to affect men at some point.
Right.
It's a
yeah.
matter of when. And so what we want to do is delay that. We want normal function as long as possible. So even for men that are not seeing a physician, check your blood pressure when you're at the grocery store. Just take a minute, sit down. Put your blood pressure or your arm in the blood pressure cuff and see what it is.
People use those things?
I think people do. I know my daughter does.
Usually,
it just doesn't squeeze hard enough.
I just like stuck my arm in that thing without putting the money in there and just it would actually start to work and then it would like just release me. I thought that was just a game or something.
Well, and even the at-home monitors are pretty cheap at this point in time. But evaluating their cholesterol, kind of looking at diet overall, smoking is a huge impact on erections and sexual function. And it's difficult sometimes to explain to patients because they say, well, I've smoked my entire life and I never had problems before this. But as we get into the heart disease, smoking actually narrows the blood vessel, and that's where it creates a problem.
It's a little bit of a delayed effect or something like that.
Very much so.
So as a doctor, how do you sort of start the dialogue? Like, how does that, take me through that process real quick. Like, how does that whole discussion begin? Like, what kind of tricks do you have to sort of start that off with a patient?
Well, many of the patients will actually come seeking me specifically for the trouble with erections. So it's actually usually a pretty easy discussion right off the bat. And I generally, you know, it's not something we need to beat around the bush or question. I just ask them, are things working right? And if the answer, it's interesting because some of the guys won't answer no directly, but they'll kind of hedge. And you can see them hedge and they're like, well, that to me means it's not working right. If you have to question sure. whether it's working right, there's something there we can explore. And generally what will happen is as we start talking to guys, we ask them about, hey, is it trouble getting the erection or is it trouble keeping the erection? Is it just not as firm as what it's been in the past? Do you feel like it just takes a lot longer to get it? Is there something else that's kind of interfering with sexual function? Or is the desire not there? And so it's pretty easy that once we get rolling, it just flows. And it's a kind of becomes what we consider a normal conversation. And you know, like I've mentioned in the last session, it was something that we talk about all the time. So it's just a normal discussion that comes about.
All right. He is Dr. Greg Lowe. We had him last week. We got him right now. We're going to have him again for another episode next week. And we'll have much more of Men's Health Matters as we continue on 1460 ESPN.
If you have erectile dysfunction, you deserve to learn about all treatment options without an upfront fee. ED is a medical condition. Insurance should be discussed and accepted. Board-certified urologists offer all treatment options from pills and injections to an outpatient procedure. Consult with an ED specialist, not a men's clinic offering just one treatment option. Go to edcure.org to get more information and to find a urologist in your area. Again, that is edcure.org. Sponsored by AMS Men's Health, a part of Boston Scientific. This is Men's Health Matters on 1460 ESPN. Visit edcure.org today to find a physician in your area.
All right, it is a pleasant Saturday morning here in the capital city, and we are still talking with Dr. Greg Lowe. He's a urologist with Ohio Health, and he's good enough to be here with us, for all of us, to talk about some of these issues that affect us as men. We want you to be healthy, right? Because if you're not healthy and you're not happy, then you're probably not listening to us here on The Fan. We need people to be happy and healthy so they can enjoy their sports, so they can enjoy everything in their life, right?
Of course, that's right.
So, you know, one of the things we were just talking about in the break back there, I love it. It's great. We'll get to all these issues. You're also a big sports fan, so we can kind of pick your brain at that, because that's my realm. That's what I'm, you know, mainly interested in. And I want you to keep me healthy, too. Like, that's also so I can keep being interested in sports.
Hey, we can do both at every visit.
Exactly, right? You were saying how your son doesn't quite understand why these Ohio State Buckeyes, when they leave for the draft, like why Zeke Elliott is still playing for the Cowboys and he can't be here at Ohio State. Right. I feel his pain. I kind of wish it were that way, too.
Yeah, he doesn't want any of them to graduate. They should all just stick around. We can kind of keep the best of them. Maybe transfer out of the other ones. But he's I think he's starting to get it.
Tate Martell, it's okay that
left.
Yeah, but Cardale Jones, come on back.
Come on back. That's
Dwayne
right.
Dwayne Haskins, stay.
He doesn't really like it at all. That's for sure.
Yeah, that does stink, right?
Right.
Maybe who the heck knows, though? Maybe one day with the way this whole thing is going with college sports and everybody clamoring to get these kids paid a little bit more for what they do, maybe it's going to be more like professional sports 20, 30 years when we wake up from now.
Very well could be.
A whole different ball. You ever think about that? Like how different things are going to be in 20 or 30 years?
That would be pretty wild. Yeah, it's particularly when you talk about sports and things like that, as we talk about concussions and all the things that go into it. I mean, you've seen a change in the NHL.
Sure.
You know, big hockey fan. And watching the NHL, it used to be grapple, kind of a dirty style, not necessarily illegal style play, but, you know, a lot of physical play, pinning guys against the board and just kind of holding them there. You look at that, what the Tampa Bay Lightning did this year, they were wide open. They played a very wide open style, and obviously until we hit the playoffs.
Well, that's crazy also about hockey. You know, it sort of rose up in the NFL, but when you watch in hockey now, they take it very seriously. When you got Tom Wilson out there doing some of the things that he does, they will not sit back and rest. They will suspend you for a lot of games. And even with fighting, too. It's just they still have it, but the fights have gone way, way down. So it's like they can't lose that aspect of it when it really needs to happen. They'll still let you go. But you wonder, you know?
Well, and you want a little of that. You want your players to help self-regulate the game a little bit. So I think you do want a little of that. You know, look at Foligno's face at the end of, what was it, Game 3, where Stamkos took a little shot at him. The fiery eyes, was that not fantastic?
That was, there were about to be problems right there.
That's right.
Stamkos was lucky that series ended when it did in four games, and we're all happy that it did as well.
I thought it was cute that he said he was just defending himself, even though Foligno's arms were both held down by the ref.
Arms were held down. There was absolutely nothing he could do. Yeah, that's just a defense mechanism. So, again, let me tell you about this, edcure.org. It's an educational website. You can learn more about all of the treatment options discussed as a part of this Men's Health Matters campaign. You can go to edcure.org, take a survey, assess your current ED score, the patient video portal that's there. It's got different men telling their real-life stories of going through ED and different treatment options. Find contact information about local urologists like Dr. Lowe here and others that are specialists in the area. You can also find local events where you can ask questions and meet in a group setting or one-on-one. Visit edcure.org. Take control of your treatment pathway. Dr. Lowe, we talked about meeting in a group setting or one-on-one. What's like percentages for you, like patients that you've had where you could tell they want to keep it more private or they're okay talking about that in a group? So what, I guess that says something about yourself, your own personality,
well,
right?
I think around here, and to be fair, I tend to prefer the one-on-one session. I feel like I can really get to know the patient a little bit better.
I would too.
I'm not just speaking to them. We're having a conversation. We're gonna try to hit all the issues that are there, not just give you the overview of things. The group sessions are good for just general education, in my opinion. And we'll do some just free seminars out in the public, and you can find those on the edcure.org website. And we have those intermittently here and there, and they're really just to get guys starting to think about, hey, what can I do for my health? But I think the personal visit with a physician, particularly with a urologist, really goes a long way.
So, Dr. Lowe, could you sort of explain to the listeners in a bit more detail here just what the body is doing down there with blood flow and nerves, and what kind of role does that play?
Yeah, not to be too technical, but there's some very basic things that have to occur.
Yes, understood.
The first thing for guys to start to get a good erection, there has to be some sort of stimuli. And that can be emotional. It can actually be sense. It can be touch. It can be visual. So whatever stimuli kickstarts the process, the nerves we have translate that into a chemical that will relax the muscle. When the muscle in the penis relaxes, all of a sudden the blood vessels open up. As the blood vessels open up, blood should be able to flow in. And as they flow in, as the blood flows in, once it hits a critical point, the veins will actually seal off. So that's what provides a good, firm, what we would consider a normal erection. Now, as through sexual activity, those veins are sealed off. However, when guys reach orgasm, generally then the blood vessels actually clamp down a little bit. As the blood vessels clamp down, the veins can open up and the blood will flow back out.
These are all things that I've never known about.
Probably never thought about before, right?
No.
Well, it's nice
all
when it just
that
works.
I've never thought about. Yeah, it is. It's nice when everything works the way it's supposed to. So where does cardiovascular and heart disease come into play with all of this?
Yeah, well, we've known for a long time that heart disease and diabetes are by far our biggest two culprits when it comes to causing erectile dysfunction.
All right, so you have heart disease first.
Right.
You are a diabetic first.
Yeah, that's exactly how we always looked at it.
Okay.
However, in the last 5 to 10 years, we've started to pay more attention and think about it logically and say, well, wait a minute. The blood vessels in the heart are about 3 times larger than the blood vessels in the penis. And as we started to
And what does that mean?
Well, it means that they're going to get narrowed first. So when we talk about damage to the heart, particularly with a heart attack or poor blood flow, what's happening there is that the blood vessels, the arteries in particular there, start to narrow. And they can narrow and generally get relatively small before you start to actually have symptoms. Well, if you have something that can act as a marker, such as a artery within the penis that's only 1/3 the size of that in the heart, we're actually going to find that as a problem before we see any of the heart problems. So when we used to look at it and say, oh, okay, well, after guys had a heart attack or a stroke or anything along those lines, 40% of those guys would go on and have significant erectile dysfunction over the next 3 to 5 years. We now know that if we pay attention to the factors that are there, that the vast majority of men will have trouble with their erections leading up before they even have the heart attack. And so for the younger guys that are coming into the office, the guys who don't have clear risk factors, or the men who have a very strong family history of heart disease, it's important for us to look at it and to think about it and say, hey, is this a blood flow problem where the penis is really acting as the canary in the coal mine? So the canaries were taken by coal miners down into the shafts. And then when they're in the mine shafts, if there was high carbon monoxide, which you can't smell, the canary fell over dead and all the miners knew, hey, we better get out of here. So we are now looking at erectile dysfunction as our canary. Hey, if that starts being a problem, we really need to focus on this and involve the primary care, involve potentially a cardiologist. Let's be preventive in preventing heart attacks or vascular disease throughout the body before we have to go and treat a problem once it's actually occurred.
All right, it's Men's Health Matters. He's Dr. Greg Lowe. You've been hearing a lot from him the last week and a half right now. So in our final segment of the day, we'll talk about some of the treatment options, because I think a lot of people want to know, Like, is it invasive? Like, what's done? Like, when you go in and have a checkup, like, what's going to be done? Yeah. So we'll get into some of that.
Right.
We'll do that.
Yes.
We'll do that next. That's coming up. Do not go anywhere. It's Men's Health Matters here on 1460 ESPN.
Did you know that diabetes, heart disease, and prostate cancer procedures can contribute to erectile dysfunction? Many men aren't aware of this or of all the treatment options that a board-certified urologist can offer. Understand your options and learn where you can find an ED specialist in Central Ohio to help. Visit edcure.org to get the facts and find a urologist who can offer treatment options that work when pills and injections don't. Again, that's edcure.org, sponsored by Boston Scientific. This is Men's Health Matters on 1460 ESPN. Visit edcure.org today to find a physician in your area.
We got Dr. Lowe with us here for one more segment today, trying to make sure all you guys out there know what's going on with your bodies, how you can stay as healthy as humanly possible. And yes, some of those issues that you're not really wanting to talk about all that often, which is why we, you know, to get you started off, you could just sit back and listen. If you're not, it's a good way, right? Doc, you could sit back and listen before you have to talk.
It's easy.
You want to take that
step.
You
don't have to do anything. Right. We're not asking anybody questions.
No. We'll try to present a lot of different things. One of the things I saw written down here is that you are not afraid to go into some of the stories. You're not going to, you can't name any patients or anything.
Right.
You can generalize and talk about some stories that you've heard from patients in the past, because you've been doing this how long?
8 years here.
Eight years you've been a urologist.
Yeah. And there's so many success stories, but the bigger ones are, and sometimes the ones that you're most happy about and also frustrated with, are the guys that have been out there not having any sexual function, no erections for 10 plus years. And then they come into the office and we've actually done some little procedures in the office or shown some guys some things where all of a sudden they get an erection. They're so happy. They're ready to try to give me a hug. And I have to be like, whoa, wait a minute. We're not going to do that right now. We can fist bump and then, happy that they're well satisfied.
Why don't you just take some time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but that's what we want. We want guys to be able to experience all life has to offer.
Dr. Lowe is with us here. So you were talking about cardiovascular and heart disease, and maybe go back over that, and then we'll get into some of the treatment options that are available. And again, you can go to edcure.org. That's the big website. That's where you want to go. You got questions, they've got answers right there.
So the big thing to recognize is that the erectile dysfunction can be a very clear marker of future heart attacks. And when we look at it and we compare it to the markers we're used to thinking about, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, it's actually a better marker than all those. And that's independent of whether patients have that or not. So it's a clear marker. It's a functional marker for us that tells us, hey, we really need to be paying attention to the heart.
Can you still get these diseases without having ED, though?
You still can.
But what you're saying is if you do experience ED, there could be some more serious things along the way. I mean, not just for your sex life, but there are your regular
your
life.
Your just overall
just
health. That's
being
right.
Being on planet Earth.
And I love my job, and I think it's fascinating. But the big thing is we don't spend 24 hours a day just having sex, right? It's a distinct period of time.
No, and I really don't.
Well, and so we wouldn't get anything done otherwise. So, you know, it's one of those things where we want to look at the things that are going to be even more impactful in life.
What are the main treatment options? Start us off there.
Yeah, so we've got a number of treatment options. Most men will ultimately start with pills from their primary care physician. And depending on how in-depth their primary care physician wants to go or how much research or other diseases patients have, they're probably going to be recommended to get some exercise, lose weight, make some dietary or lifestyle changes. And all those things can make a difference. They really can, but they're tough. Let's be honest, they're tough to stick with a lot of the times. And many patients want to start seeing success. And what we found is that if we can get patients some success early on and then coach them as to the other things that can help improve their erections naturally, we can do that. But most of the patients will start with pills from their primary care physician. If the pills don't work, and the pills have come down in price, but if the pills don't work, then generally the next best step is to see a urologist. And edcure.org has plenty of us specialists, us urologists that are on there, that patients can easily find. But seeing a urologist is going to then open the vault of all the other options that are there. Plus, as urologists, we're used to finding a cost-effective approach for our patients, not something that's going to be overwhelmingly expensive. So generally, when we look at alternative options, we look at things like a vacuum erection device. It's not something that many patients are terribly happy or comfortable with. Even their partners often will notice a difference. So it's useful, but we don't see many patients stick with it. We can see little intraurethral suppositories, so a little tiny, tiny little pellet that would go right into the opening of the penis. While those work, they work in about 75% of men, they can cause an achy sensation. And let's be honest, that's never good.
No. Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
And the bigger issue is actually that they're really expensive. And we haven't been able to find cheaper alternatives for that. It's not something that many people are actually using anymore. So when we look at actual treatments that work, we really look at things like injection therapy into the penis. And I know that sounds terrible. I always tell guys, look, I tried it, so I won't lie to anybody. It's a tiny little diabetic needle. I would say well over 50 to 60% of the men that we show how to do this in the office will say, I didn't even feel that. But it works great. And it's a very inexpensive medication because we have three compounding pharmacies in town that do a great job with it. And then the other option would be a penile implant. And a penile implant has actually been around the longest of any of our treatments. It's been around since the early 70s. It's a very, very effective device. And when we look at satisfaction scores, the penile implant actually has the highest satisfaction of anything out there, both for the patient and the partner.
If this is something that you're talking about with your doctor right now, why? You went through a lot of steps right there. Right. I guess it's like with everything, there's always going to be an array of options, and then here's the best one. Does it depend on how severe the issue is at a certain point in time with what you might recommend until you get to the, sounds like the implant you spoke about at the end is the one you most recommend.
Well,
but is that going to be the same for everybody?
It's not the same for everybody. No. You know, we're looking at each couple as an individual patient, essentially. You know, what's going to work for them? And for some men, we have a good number of men out there that don't even want to seek a relationship with another partner until they start to actually know that, hey, this will function. This will work well. And so we tailor it to each and every person. It's just that we have plenty of options out there to make men aware of and to actually work to improve the situation for them.
Instead of me just asking all of the questions here again, because I'm lucky I haven't had to deal with this yet. I hope that I don't have to, but maybe some point in the next 5 or 10 years, I'm in your office trying to get some help. What are questions that you hear from patients?
One of the biggest ones is with all the advertising around testosterone is, well, why won't testosterone alone fix my erections? And generally, if you're a younger guy, so guys in their 30s, 40s, maybe even early 50s, we'll see testosterone make a pretty good improvement in their erections. But beyond that, we see that there's usually some other underlying cause. And because of that underlying cause, the testosterone alone doesn't fix it. A lot of guys will say, well, is this just in my head? Am I just thinking myself out of this working? In all reality, it's not. 95% of the guys, it's very clear cut that they have one or multiple underlying factors that'll cause it. I'll tell you, I love it when the partners come to the office as well, because a lot of the partners will actually feel that it's them. And so they'll think that, gosh, my husband or my spouse, one way or another will, hey, I can't, it's because of me. He's not that interested in me anymore. And I love to be able to tell him, look, no, this is like every other disease that's out there. There's something underlying this. He can't will his way to an erection. It just doesn't work like that.
All right, so we're running out of time for this week, but we'll have another episode with you. Could you just go in a little bit to what we're going to talk about next week?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of the other alternatives men might be hearing about next week, alternatives that are being advertised quite a bit. And we'll also talk a little bit more in depth about the penile implant and what patients are saying about that.
This has been Men's Health Matters, Dr. Greg Lowe. He is local. He's right here in town. And again, you can go back to that website, edcure.org, to find everything that you are going to need. Stay healthy out there. Listen to your body. If you think something is up, go see one of your physicians. Again, go to that website. Find out how to help yourself. All right. This has been Men's Health Matters on 1460 ESPN.
You've been listening to Men's Health Matters on 1460 ESPN. Listen every Saturday morning at 7:30 or find recent episodes at 971thefan.com.